You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll hear about the campaign for the state legislature, key races, what's at stake, and why it matters to voters.
Right now, it's been a whole week since our last check-in with Harry Enten, and a lot has happened in the world of national politics.
The Access Hollywood tapes came out, WikiLeaks dropped more hacked Clinton emails, then the second debate and a public feud between Donald Trump and some key members of his own party. The newest polls are just starting to show the public reaction to all that presidential campaign news.
Harry Enten is back with us. He's a senior editor at 538.com. Harry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, what's the latest in polling national key states after this eventful week?
Well, it seems that what we saw after the first debate, Hillary Clinton rising, that rise has not abated yet. She's up to her highest point in the national poll since she was after the Democratic National Convention, which, of course, was the highest she's been this entire campaign. She's up by about 7 percentage points nationally, according to our polls-only model. And if you look across the swing states, she leads in all of the key swing states. And in fact, she may be leading in some states that are unusual that we wouldn't even expect her to be leading in. And that, you know, so it looks very good for her right now.
Utah. Talk about Utah.
Yeah, that's the state I'm alluding to, right? There's a new poll out from the state of Utah by a polling organization, which is not a terrible polling organization, which has Hillary Clinton tied with Donald Trump at 26%. Now, you may say 26% each of them getting only adds up to 52%. Where is all the other vote? Well, Evan McMullen, who is a name that we don't really speak about a lot, he was a Republican operative who decided to throw his hat into the ring because he was so unsatisfied with Donald Trump. He is getting 22% of the vote in that state, and there was a lot of talk of some Republican, high-ranking Republican officials in that state backing Evan McMullen instead of Donald Trump. And then you have Gary Johnson, who's at 16%. So you basically have a four-way race in that state, and whoever wins there could win with, say, 33, 34% of the vote, something very unusual.
That is unusual, and it's been an unusual week. We had those tapes released on Friday, and then the debates, and that certainly came up there. Let's give a little listen.
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it. But this is locker room talk.
So Trump's saying he wasn't talking about sexual assault, just locker room talk. This kicked off a lot of reaction, the tape itself, from a lot of prominent Republicans. Can you talk about some of the latest back and forth on that?
Yeah, I mean, let's just say that this is something different that we've never really seen before, right? You expect parties to coalesce around this time if they're divided. This party seems to be dividing, not coalescing. And we've seen people from Kelly Ayotte, who's the Republican senator from New Hampshire, saying she can't vote for Donald Trump. That's a key race in Pennsylvania. Pat Toomey is saying he's undecided. He's not sure whether he's going to vote for Donald Trump. And then you see Donald Trump going after Paul Ryan, despite the fact that Ryan is not unendorsing Trump, but he hasn't exactly said a lot of kind things about Donald Trump. To me, this is a Republican Party that is divided, and divided parties just don't win presidential elections, which is why we have Donald Trump at such a low percentage to win right now.
Let's give a listen to Paul Ryan talking at a rally this weekend that Donald Trump was scheduled to go to, was uninvited to go to. Mike Pence, I don't know the whole story there. He ended up not coming as planned. Here's a brief bit from Paul Ryan.
Here in Wisconsin, we will deliver our 10 electoral votes. We will fight for our conservatives, and we will offer this country solutions, and we will meet the moment for what it is.
So we will deliver our 10 electoral votes. Usually that sentence would end for Donald Trump or for our candidate. He was strangely vague there, and in a talk with congressional Republicans, a bit vague, but saying he wouldn't defend Trump. He wouldn't campaign with him. This is like the highest elected Republican official in the country talking about his party's candidate.
Boy, I tell you, King Solomon would be proud of Paul Ryan trying to slice this so many ways. It's so difficult to figure out exactly what he's thinking, but I think it's fairly clear, right? Paul Ryan doesn't like Donald Trump, really wishes Donald Trump weren't the nominee, but he is the Republican nominee, and there are a lot of Republican-based voters who like Donald Trump, and Paul Ryan recognizes that he needs those voters to come out to vote for Republican House candidates come the fall, while at the same time he himself doesn't want to be too attached to Trump. So he's kind of trying to split the baby both ways. I'm not sure it's actually going to work out for them. I mean, Republicans will likely hold the House, but that goes a long way in explaining why Paul Ryan basically sounds like a man who doesn't know what he wants.
Talking to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com, looking at a wild week in presidential politics. And Harry, you've been talking about this, you and your colleagues at 538. Donald Trump seems to be really focusing on the same voters who won the primary for him. But is that going to be enough people to win a general election for him?
Not really. I mean, look, he won in the primary by getting, say, that 30 to 45%, depending on the primary vote, in particular states, that base vote, a lot of white voters without a college degree. And while they make up a significant portion of general election voters, they do not come anywhere close to making up a majority of them. And what you're seeing over and over again in polls is Trump coming in with 36, 37, 38, 39, maybe 40% of the vote. And although that was enough to win a divided Republican primary, Hillary Clinton right now is coming in with numbers 45, 46, 47% of the vote. And therefore, she is the favorite. And Donald Trump seems to be doubling down on a strategy that worked before, but almost certainly will not work again.
Right. Donald Trump says the shackles are off. He's not letting Republicans hold him back anymore. And one idea out there is that, okay, instead of trying to reach out to voters in the middle, undecided voters, whatever, he's giving up on that. And he's going to try to release and talk as much as he can about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton to try to dissuade Clinton supporters from coming out to the vote. People have called it scorched earth, various things. Is there anything out there that shows that a strategy like that might work?
Not really. We know that Democratic enthusiasm, if anything, is up over the past few weeks since the first debate. If you look at a state like North Carolina, where we're getting early vote numbers, what it in fact shows is Democrats are showing up with about the same numbers that they did 4 years ago, but it's Republicans who seem to be staying home. There is absolutely no proof at all, looking at the polls right now, that Democrats are staying home. If anything, the indications are that Republicans are staying home.
One of your newest pieces looks at the history of presidential races to say, okay, looking at where Donald Trump is in the polls, you know, a month out basically from Election Day, is there a precedent for somebody making that big a comeback? So is there?
Not really. You know, Donald Trump right now in our polls only forecast is down by about 6.5 points or 6.6 points, nearly 7 percentage points. The polls at this point, there's only one race there with a margin closed by more than that margin, that 6.5 points. And that was in 1992 when Bill Clinton was leading by double digits and he ended up winning by mid-single digits. But Bill Clinton still won that race was very different than this one. The things that have tended to perhaps move the polls a lot have been debates. We've already had two of those. Donald Trump lost both of those debates, according to the polls, and viewership was down for the second one. So I don't really quite understand how a third debate, where he hasn't won the first two, and a third debate in which there'll be fewer viewers, is going to be able to change this race around for him.
On Hillary Clinton's side, more and more WikiLeaks revelations coming out, what she said in some of those speeches to Wall Street, Big Wheels, internal campaign emails, a lot of stuff that people are saying is pretty embarrassing for her campaign. Is it the kind of stuff that is going to move voters?
Well, you know, if this were a normal campaign, if this were one in which Donald Trump was not the Republican nominee, that's all we'd be talking about. But the fact is, when you have somebody who's been caught on tape suggesting committing sexual assault, that will dominate the news headlines. And Donald Trump just can't get out of his own way. I've said all along that whichever candidate is in the news is the candidate that is losing. And Donald Trump continues to dominate the news headlines. Ergo, Donald Trump continues to fall in the polls.
Big picture, something you've been thinking about, a lot of people thinking about, is win or lose, what does Donald Trump's candidacy mean for the future of the Republican Party? And I saw you made a really interesting point. We a lot of times think of Republicans as a coalition. Fiscal conservatives think Paul Ryan. Social conservatives think Ted Cruz, say. You're saying fiscal conservatives may be out in the cold. Now it's social versus cultural conservatives like Donald Trump and his followers. Talk about that a little.
Yeah, so, you know, social conservatives, we all know what those are. Those are, you know, a large part born-again, evangelical, white Christians. You know, Ted Cruz did very well with them in the primary. We've had a long history of them. But cultural conservatives, Ann Coulter is kind of a cultural conservative. Donald Trump is the same, where it's not really about fiscal policy. It's not really about abortion necessarily. It's issues like immigration and wanting to make America back to what it was, say, 50 years ago. Just this idea of an America lost And that's really what keeps Donald Trump together, right? I mean, he's changed his position on taxes. He's changed his position on abortion. But the thing that's been consistent is that, well, we're getting killed overseas in free trade, and we're getting killed with immigration coming into this country. And what we have seen is that voters who voted for Donald Trump overwhelmingly listed immigration as their top issue, while the rest of the stuff didn't matter. And they are now making up a substantial portion of the Republican Party. And come 2020, I'd be very interested to see if the primary again comes down to a candidate like Ted Cruz, who is a social conservative, and a cultural conservative candidate, whoever it is.
So is there room in that Republican Party of 2020 for an old-fashioned fiscal conservative like, say, Paul Ryan?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there is a potential. We're still 4 years away, and I wouldn't be shocked if there's a cultural conservative candidate or a socially conservative candidate who adopts many of the same fiscal conservative issues. But I think that whoever's going to win the primary come 2020 is going to have to win at least some of either the social or cultural conservatives, especially if they're a fiscal conservative like Ryan is.
You don't see this as a one-off weird year for Republicans just based on this, what seemed at the outset, unlikely story of Donald Trump?
Well, of course, it could be a one-off. You never know if something is going to be a one-off. But the fact is that if you look at the long-term trends within the Republican Party and the voters who make up that Republican Party, which we, in fact, have done, we did a story, The End of a Republican Party, that was co-written with my colleague Claire Malone, we see that this is a long time coming. And if you just look back to 4 years ago with Mitt Romney, the thing that tied Mitt Romney to Donald Trump, where they were the two most anti-illegal immigration candidates in the field, and that seems to be an issue in which a lot of Republicans are voting on these days.
We'll leave it there for this week, Harry. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com.
Coming up after the news, the race for the state legislature has been flying under the radar in the midst of this hotly contested presidential campaign. We'll look at the key races and issues coming up. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.